Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. For over half a century, this listener-supported ministry has been shining the light of God's Word into our world. We're convinced that the Bible is a love letter from our Creator, that every word is inspired by God and profitable for us. We invite you to invest half an hour to study the Scriptures with us. If you're driving or engaged in other tasks, you can just listen. But if you're able to open your Bible and follow along, we believe you'll get the most out of this teaching. Here's Pastor Jim to lead us in our ongoing study.
Sin, on the other hand, is a destructive force fueled by pride, energized by selfishness, that destroys that which God intended to create. Sin is like the bugs, the aphids, the disease that infects and destroys the potential and the beauty of the rose. Sin is like the dryness of the earth or the lack of nutrients. Sin is that word God uses, and he takes a lot of different words to describe the whole concept, but it's the destructive, energetic force that ruins what God had in mind for you. Now, what Jesus promises in this verse is that because of our relationship with him, and through our relationship with him, we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and he is God, and so God's very life is inside of us, and he's given us his word, and through his word, he wants to help us identify the destructive forces and habits that are determined and that are destroying your potential, your capacity to be all that God created you to be. And what this verse is telling us is that God isn't going to let any destructive force ruin your potential. That's what he's telling us. He's telling us that there'll be a day when you will be and I will be perfect. We will be all that God intended us to be. It won't be in this life. It won't be in this world. And it won't be by your best efforts. It will be the result of his energetic life, his dynamic spirit, his word, and his gracious, wonderful and patient work in your life. This is the theme throughout Scripture. It's one of the great reasons why salvation is so critical and so important for every person. You cannot be all you were intended by your Creator to be apart from the redeeming grace of God, apart from the Holy Spirit working within you, apart from the work of the power of God to resist and to overcome sin and to destroy sin's effect in your life. You can't. It's impossible. There is no other agent in the universe that can do that. This marvelous work of perfection will be completed, fully completed, when we stand in his presence. You will be glorious. You will be perfect. Your body, your soul, your spirit. Every talent, every ability, every capacity God has planted within your makeup will be able to bloom and shine. You will not be like me. I will not be like you. Just as the flowers in the bouquet in front of us are not the same, each different, and yet their differences of hue and shape blend into a beautiful, beautiful bouquet. So when we stand before God and his work is finished and he has completed in us the work that he began, we will be perfect at last. All that our Creator intended us to be, perfect. There's a second thought or a second promise in these verses. It also begins with P. We are going to a perfect place. Jesus talked about that in verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. Earlier in the upper room, just a few hours before this prayer, Jesus had said to his disciples, fellas, listen, like I told the Pharisees before, now I'm telling to you, I'm going away and you can't come with me. And the disciples immediately wondered, well, where are you going that we can't go with you? And Peter had said, hey, Lord, if it's a matter of courage, I'm willing to die. I'm not going to leave you. You're going into trouble. I'll go with you. I love you. And Jesus said, that won't work, Peter. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If that were not true, I would have told you. What he's saying is there really is a heaven, guys. There's a place away from earth that's real. I've been there. It was real and true before there was a heavens and earth. It existed before the foundations of the earth were laid. It's the Father's house. And I came from there into the world and became a man. Now I'm going back there. And I'm going back there to prepare a place for you. And when I have prepared that place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself so that where I am, there you may be also. The Bible doesn't give us a great deal of description about the details of that place. It talks about living with the Lord Jesus Christ forever, being with the Lord forever. It talks about being absent of the body and being present with the Lord. But there is a place there in God's heaven, in God's home base, at the grand headquarters of the universe. There is a place that's special, a place that is especially prepared for Christians, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's prepared by him and it's custom built. And when it's ready, and when our assignment on earth is done, he's going to take us there so that we'll be with him. Now, your mind probably is raced forward to the 21st chapter of Revelation, where John sees the New Jerusalem come down from God out of heaven. And it's the place where the streets are paved with gold. The Bible nowhere says that heaven has streets of gold that I know of. But it does say that that special place in heaven that God has prepared for his followers, that that place has streets of gold and that the gold is so pure it's translucent. Incredible. And it talks about 12 great gates, each of a singular pearl. But that physical description is of the place Jesus prepared. It's not a physical description of heaven. In the book of the Revelation, we have a glimpse of some things that take place in heaven, and they are awesome and inspiring and overwhelming, just incredible. But we know very little about the physical details of heaven. But we do know this. We know that that's where Jesus is, and we know that he delighted to be there, and we know that he wants us to be there with him. This season of the year, I think back to college days when I could hardly wait to finish the week of exams and get in the car and head back to West Virginia. not because 120 East Liberty Street is the most magnificent palace I've ever been in. Many of you live in homes that are far more magnificent. But I could hardly wait to get there because that's where Mom and Dad lived. And I longed to be with them. And I can remember the thrill of opening the screen door and bursting into the house and smelling the fried chicken and the mashed potatoes and knowing that the gravy was hot and the iced tea was ready. And even that was not nearly as exciting as just being there with Mom and Dad. It wouldn't be long till we'd get in the car, or I'd get in the car and travel a couple of miles down to a little town called Scrabble. And there, my grandparents had a very humble home. But you know, it seemed like a palace. My grandfather would sit me down and say, "Now, Jim," Jimmy as he called me, I could never get him trained. "Jimmy," he would say, "I've been reading my Bible. I've got some questions, and you've been out there learning from these wise people." And then he would take me into the list of questions that he had developed over the winter months as he sat in his rocking chair and read the scripture. And he'd want to know this and want to know that, want to know that. Meanwhile, Grandma would be out in the cooking shed and she'd fry up eggs. My grandma could do fried eggs like nobody's business. And of course, they raised pigs, and so she had her own bacon and her own ham. Are you getting hungry? And we would sit there and eat eggs, toast, homemade bread, and talk about the scriptures. And they would tell me all about the garden, and they would tell me about my uncles and aunts. And it wasn't the physical house. It was being with my folks. Heaven is magnificent because Jesus is there. And far beyond any physical property of heaven, Jesus will be there. Fanny Crosby was blind, and she was once chided by a skeptic who said, "You know, Fanny, you write about Jesus, talk about Jesus," but he said, "You would know Jesus if you walked in the room." And she said, "Oh, yes, I would." "Well, how would you know Jesus?" She said, "By the print of the nail in his hand." She wrote a song about that. I'm going to get to see the one who left heaven's glories, laid aside all the glory and magnificence of being God, humbled himself, became a man, and let people spit in his face and drive nails in his hands so that he could die the death I deserved. I'm going to get to see him. And I'll never be separated from him again. We do ourselves great harm when we permit skeptics and cynics to rob us of the absolute confidence that heaven is a place, Jesus is there, and that you can know right now you're going to heaven the moment you die. If you die united to Jesus Christ through faith. There's a third thing in these verses. This is the icing on the cake. This is the cherry on the top of the sundae. Not only do we get to go to heaven, not only will we be perfect there, but look at verse 24 again. "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." If you're taking notes, you should have the word perfect, you should have the word place, and now you should add the word participation. Participation. See that word behold? It's the same idea when Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 about verse 3, he said, "Nicodemus, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven." It doesn't mean to look at, it means to participate in. Same idea in chapter 3, verse 36, where Jesus said that if you don't have the Son of God, if you don't have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you will not see life. It's the use of the word that means to participate in. It means to experience. It means to be involved. It means to participate. You see, when we go to heaven, not only are we going to be perfect, not only are we going to be with Jesus, but we're going to be gloriously involved with him. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, Paul helps us a bit with this when he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. That word in glory doesn't just mean in heaven. It means in a glorified condition. In other words, when we get to heaven, we're not going to be angels. And we're not going to be just good people standing there like spectators watching the parade go by. We're not going to be add-ons. We're not going to be warming the bench, watching other celestial beings do it. God has called us his sons. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Like him. Our perfection, God's work within us, will be so complete that we will shine as the stars. And there are a number of things that we're going to do. One is we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are going to participate in the judgment of fallen angels. Bible says that the angelic beings will actually be serving the saints of God. You don't want to be an angel. You want to be a son of God. Bible says that when Jesus Christ returns from heaven at the end of the tribulation period to fight the battle of Armageddon, when he descends from the heavens to engage the Antichrist and the false prophet and Satan and all the armies of the world gather there in the valley of Jehoshaphat, when he does that, you and I, his bride, are going to return with him. And we're going to be wearing magnificent robes that glisten in the sunlight. Bible says we're going to sit on thrones and participate in judging, evaluating, administrating. The Bible says that you and I, in that glorious day, will enjoy the potential that Adam forfeited by his sin. We are going to rule over all the works of God's created hand. I'm going to tell you something. That's more excitement than what you'll ever understand. That's a higher position than in your wildest dreams you'd ever think possible. That's to participate with God in his function. It's to be sharing with Jesus Christ as he executes and as he enjoys the magnificent, unrestrained glory that is his. Now, some of you may be listening to the devil whisper in your ear, that's not very humble. You're supposed to be humble. But let me tell you what you tell the devil. Look him in the eye and say, sir, the Bible says that this exalted position that I'm going to enjoy isn't mine just because I want it. This tremendous position that I have is the means by which God the Father exalts and glorifies God the Son. We are the exhibition of what God does to those poor, sinful, dead, blind, insensitive, selfish persons who come to him, confess their sin, and receive his grace. So we are enjoying this tremendous position. We are participating with Jesus Christ. not because we're worth it, but because he's worth it. And he is glorified and magnified in the work that he is able to do, in the perfection he is able to perform, in the elevation he's able to give, in the grand, glorious transformation that he's able to effect in the life of every individual and all Christians as they sit with him. We give him glory. We are the evidence of the magnificence of his grace and power working in human hearts and lives. Incredible. Just incredible. That's what he said earlier on this prayer. He said, I, Father, am glorified in them. Doing this great work in our lives ultimately attributes to him and demonstrates to the intelligent creatures of the universe that we don't even know about yet. But it exhibits to them the magnificence of the intricate and marvelous grace of our Heavenly Father and the glorious attributes of his love and his mercy and his power. Incredible. Participation, participation, participation. We're not going to heaven to sit on a cloud, drink mint juleps and loaf. That's not our purpose. We're going to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and to participate with him in his grand work for all eternity into the future. Participation. Oh, there's one other thing. Jesus put this as a PS to his prayer. It's in the last two verses, but it's such a wonderful way to cap. It says, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you love me, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them. See, that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate, ultimate, ultimate reason for it all. It's to exhibit the love of God. It's to demonstrate the great love of God, the magnificence of God's love. God is love.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We hope this brief look into the scriptures with Pastor Jim has given you some things to think about, some things to pray about, maybe even some things to do. God's words will change us if we allow them to. If you'd like to have the entire sermon on CD, we'll send it to you for a gift of $7 or more. The teaching series is available as a CD album. Please see the rightstartradio.org website for information on that. Right Start is a labor of love for those who volunteer to help, with their prayers and finances. There is no grant or subsidy or endowment underneath us. It's just us folks as we're led of God to help. For those who are part of the family, thank you. You're a blessing to many people. To contact us, reach us by mail at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. We promise not to send you any junk mail or spam. We're not building a database, we're building the kingdom. Or call us during business hours in the Eastern U.S. time zone, 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And the website is rightstartradio.org. We've tried to fill the site with material that will help us all grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can hear today's program and many others. You can play or download Pastor Jim's complete sermons. The Daily Podcast is the show on the go. We'll link you to that in iTunes. You can send us an email very easily, and you can click to donate at rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Please join us when we get together next time for a new edition of Right Start.